Our second scripture reading is from Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with Hebrews 1, beginning with verse 10. And in the beginning, Lord, you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like clothing. Like a cloak, you will roll them up, and like clothing, they will be changed. But you, Lord, are the same, and your years will never end. This is the word of the Lord. Let us bow in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. To begin today's sermon, I have asked Steve Allison to assist me. Steve will draw on the board three simple figures. The first drawing is a simple line. We say that a line has one dimension, length. The second drawing is a rectangle, and a rectangle has two dimensions, length and width. Drawing three is a representation of a cube, and we say that a cube has three dimensions, length, width, and depth. Thank you, Steve, for your artistry. But now look at these geometric figures more closely. There's a dimension that we've overlooked. We can't represent this dimension on the drawing board. Why? Because the dimension we're missing is the dimension of time. All real things exist in time. This dimension is essential. If you and I did not live in time, well, of course, we wouldn't exist. If a cube didn't have the quality of existing in time, its other dimensions, length, width, and depth, would be meaningless. Scientists tell us that time and all other dimensions are bound up tightly together in one network. Our minds tend to separate these dimensions. But this separation is purely our own doing. It's subjective. One writer has said, there is no difference between time and the three dimensions of space, except that our consciousness moves along the dimension of time. It's a scientific fact, not fiction, that if you traveled in a rocket into outer space at close to the speed of light, and then you came back to Earth, you would find that people on Earth had aged faster than you. Think of it. Perhaps someday a person may be able to leave his family on Earth, visit the stars, and then return to Earth and converse with his great, 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 great grandchildren. Time, as Einstein has pointed out, is relative. It's a dimension that we've only begun to explore. Now, does all that sound confusing, perplexing? Well, perhaps it should. There's nothing really simple about time. It's really profound. If we think we know what time is, we haven't thought about it very much. In the last analysis, only God knows what time really is. God is the Lord of time, past, present, and future. The fourth verse of Psalm 90 tells us, 1,000 years in thy sight, O Lord, are but as yesterday when it is past, as a watch in the night. Only God can comprehend time in its vastness and mystery. Here we are, on the very first Sunday of the new year, and the passing of time seems to take on special significance. Before we greeted the new year 2020, most of us paused to wait for the last seconds of the old year to pass, to review perhaps what had taken place in the past year, and then to consider briefly the future. What does the future hold? The past is gone, but the future still awaits us. What is in store for the coming year? What's in store for the years after that? Walt Whitman, the American poet, said that the future is an unknown region. He said, all is a blank before us. And yet, men and women stare into this blankness, hoping to catch a glimpse of what is to come. This forward look, this look into the future, is one of the distinguishing marks of humankind. The moment we stop looking to the future, the moment we say the present is enough for me, then we have slipped to a lower level of consciousness. The human being is the one who stands up on his two feet and looks forward and looks upward. What about the future? This question is both our excellence and our misery. It is our excellence because it was the forward look that motivated people to build this church, to build your homes, to pave the streets. Why build if there's no thought of shelter for the future? The forward look has given us great temples, pyramids, literature, science. It is responsible for the greatness and the excellence of humankind. But, it is also responsible for human misery. Without the forward look, there would be no anxieties, no neuroses, no paralyzing fears. How then shall we look into the darkness of the future? Or to put it another way, how shall we deal with the fact that we're all moving into the unknown? People have tried many ways to grapple with the future. Some have constructed elaborate theories of development to explain the movement of time. Darwin outlined the theory of evolution, and Marx the theory of dialectical materialism. Both affirmed that there are natural laws, biological or economic, that are determining the structure of the future. And rejecting Marx and Darwin, others like Sartre and Nietzsche have maintained that human beings stand by themselves. They are alone in the universe. There are no natural forces working to determine history, they say. The universe is chaotic. Humans must remake their world by the sheer power of their will. We must make ourselves. Still others, sensing that there is more to life than natural forces and sheer human willpower, have opted for the intuitive world of occult. They have turned, as the Bible says, to those who have familiar spirits, to wizards who peep and mutter. And this is where we are today. In America, we have so much of crystal gazing, horoscopes, and New Age religion. A great deal of it, of course, stemming from our curiosity, not taken too seriously. But there are some who won't face the future without the aid of a spiritist or a psychic. We have to know. We want to know. What does the future hold? Ours is not an age of cold rationalism all kinds of superstition surround us. Somehow or other, people must have their peek into the future. And if other methods fail, then people turn to crystal gazers, to horoscopes, to false faith. And that is why, if Christianity were to die, it wouldn't be cold rationalism that sweeps in. It would be superstition. What then is the Christian answer as we face the future? It's an unexpected answer for those who have ceased to take their faith seriously. It's simply that we look to Jesus. We look to him in the past, whom we celebrated this past month as an infant, a helpless infant 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. But we know that he was a small light, a frail light, an infant. What is that against the darkness that we find in the world? Yet in this light is the hope of the world, the reality of a living divine spirit traveling with us through time. And anyone who has come to know Christ will discover that he is not only a child from the past, but he is a presence who inspires us now. 2 Corinthians tells us that the love of Christ constrains us. And if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that is true now. Our future infuses into our present. Christ is not confined to the past or the present. He is the light at the end of time shining upon us. Though we may walk in darkness, we perceive the light of Christ before us. We can't see the total shape of things to come. We can't see what is in store for us in the coming year. We can't even see around the corner to tomorrow morning. But as we peer into the darkness, we do see Christ, the light of God, who is from eternity to eternity. Finally, let me say, in the great Christian classic, Pilgrim's Progress, the main character is named Pilgrim. He meets at the beginning of a spiritual journey a man named Evangelist. And Pilgrim says, "In what direction, Evangelist? In what direction should I go?" The evangelist stretches out his hand and points beyond the plain, saying, "Do you see that narrow gate?" No, replies Pilgrim. "Do you see that yonder shining light?" "I do seem to see a light," Pilgrim answers. Then, says Evangelist, "fix your eyes on that light. Go straight toward it, and you will find the gate. Unto Christ, the Son of God, the light of the world, be glory and praise forever." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how great you are beyond our imagining. And time, your creation, even that perplexes us, and you are so much greater. May the vastness of your love and grace and mercy be open to our eyes. May we see you at work in our lives for the sake of Christ. And in his name we do pray. Amen.